All right, well, we're there in James chapter number 4. I'd like you to keep your place there in James. We're going to come right back to it. But go with me real quickly to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 27. Keep your place in James. And if you would, go to Proverbs. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 27. And last Sunday morning, I preached a sermon. If you were here, you might remember. I preached a sermon on the subject of how to receive criticism, and it was really supposed to be one sermon called How to Give and Receive Criticism, and when I studied it out, I found that there's so much material in the Bible about it that I decided to make it a two-part mini-series. So last week, we talked about receiving criticism, and I would encourage you, if you weren't here for that sermon or if you missed it, you can find it on our YouTube channel or on our website, and I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. You might find some things insightful there. Today, I want to preach a follow-up sermon on the subject of how to give criticism. Because in life, we're going to both receive criticism, whether you want to or not, you're going to receive criticism. So we learned last week about how to properly receive it and how to deal with it. And then today, I want to talk about how to give criticism. Because in our relationships, we will often find ourselves in a position where we have to give criticism. Hopefully it's constructive criticism, but we must become good at giving criticism. And I want to show you just by way of introduction here in Proverbs 27 why. And actually, this is a verse that Brother Vijay brought up to me after the service last Sunday. He came up to me and brought up this verse to me in regards to criticism, and he explained it to me in a light that I'd never seen before, and I want to share it with you. I thought it was extremely interesting because it kind of highlights the reason why, because you might be asking yourself, well, why would I need to be good at giving criticism? You know, why does that matter? And it highlights the reason why. In Proverbs 27, verse 14, the Bible says this, Proverbs 27, 14, it says, "He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him." And when you read that verse, you might have a question about that verse and ask yourself, because Proverbs is a book where Solomon gives us all these little proverbs, these little insights, these little quotes and these little thoughts in regards to living our lives in a better way and living our lives in a good way. And you might read that verse and ask yourself, well, why is it that if someone blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, if someone's blessing their friend, if someone, that's a positive thing, why would it be counted a curse to him? And the answer is this, and the answer to this verse is the reason why you, as a father, need to learn to give criticism properly. It's why you, as a mother, need to learn to give criticism properly. It's why any of us who are in any leadership role, whether it's in church or whether it's in the home, whether it's in the workplace, why you must learn to give criticism properly. And it's because we cannot be the type of leaders and we cannot be the type of people who only affirm and who are only positive. And you say, well, that doesn't sound good. What's wrong with being positive? Nothing in the world wrong with being positive, but there is something wrong with being only positive, with only giving affirmation. You say, why? Because look, if you are the type of friend, if you are the type of father, if you are the type of mother, if you are the type of employer, if you're the type of pastor who only ever blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. Why would that be a curse to him? Here's why. Because no follower needs to just be constantly only affirmed. Do you understand what I just said? You will ruin your children, mom and dad, if all you ever do is affirm them and tell, never correct them, never give them advice, never reprove them, never rebuke them. Now look, we're not talking about being mean and we're not talking about being angry, but here's what we're saying is that if all you ever give a follower is affirmation and you never correct them, you never bring negative things up to them, you never try to help them, you are cursing them, you're going to ruin them, and in the parental relationship, you're going to raise a spoiled brat. You're going to raise a nightmare if you never look at your kids and say, no, honey, that's wrong. No, son, that's not okay. That's not appropriate. That's not how normal people do it. That's not what normal people do. You are going to raise a monster if you don't learn to give a correction in the right way. And so when we're talking about criticism, we're not talking about the negative criticism we talked about last week. People will give that to you. But we're talking about constructive criticism, which in the Bible is called correction. When a leader lovingly goes to their follower and says, let me help you with something. Now, last week we talked about how to receive that, both negative and positive. This week, we're going to talk about how to give that in a positive way. But here's the truth. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. And by the way, that's what's wrong with most false preachers today. If you listen to the false preachers on television today, what's the problem with their preaching? It's not necessarily what they're saying, it's what they're not saying. Is that they're only positive. They're always positive. You say, do you have anything wrong with being positive? Nothing at all. But you know what? The Bible has a lot of warnings in it. The Bible has a lot of negative things that God wants us to be aware of, that God wants us to be warned about. And we as preachers are supposed to stand up and preach the whole counsel of God. And when we only preach the stuff that's nice and positive, that's a curse to you. That's going to ruin you. That's not going to help you. So why? Why would you want to get good at giving criticism? Here's why. Because in the areas where you are the leader, you must learn to give criticism in the proper way. You must learn to give criticism in the proper way, or you will curse those who are following you. Now, we're going to get back to James here in a moment, but go with me to the book of Judges, if you would. You're there in Proverbs. If you start at Genesis, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. And while you turn there, let me say this. There are two extremes to this coin. On one extreme, you've got the leader who never says anything negative, only positive. Their kid's a nightmare, throwing a fit, hitting mom, hitting dad, screaming, yelling. And they're like, listen, honey, listen, sweetheart, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And it's like, no, you're not. Sliced bread is pretty cool. You need to correct that child. You know, but then on the opposite end, you've got parents and you've got employers and you've got people in leadership who are just very critical and negative and angry. We don't want to be that either. We want to learn to give criticism in the right way. We want to learn to give criticism in the proper spirit. And that's what this sermon is about, is we're going to learn how to give criticism. And it's really how to give constructive criticism, or how to give correction properly. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you four thoughts, 4 points, and I'd like you to write these down, especially if you find yourself in any sort of leadership position where you, from time to time, have to confront someone else and have to correct someone else and have to tell somebody when they're doing something wrong. I'd like you to write these down on the back of your course of the week. There's a place for you to write notes. You can write these down so you can give these out so you can use these in your life. So here's point number one. When giving criticism, you must be careful. You must be careful and you must examine yourself and be careful that you are not just a negative and critical person. That is the first step. Before you ever give criticism, before you ever open your mouth and say anything negative about anything, you really need to examine yourself. You need to examine your heart. You need to examine your relationships. You need to examine whether this is criticism that you should be properly giving, or whether you, and look, I didn't say you need to examine your husband. I didn't say you need to examine your wife. I didn't say kids. I didn't say you need to examine your parents. You need to examine yourself and ask yourself, am I just a negative and critical person? Because here's the thing. There are some people who are just disagreeable people. There are some people who, honestly, you shouldn't really take too much heed to any criticism that comes from them, because anything that ever comes from them is only criticism. They never say anything but anything critical. They never say anything but anything negative. And it really doesn't matter what's happening, who's doing it, who's in charge of it, how successful it is, how well it's working out. It really doesn't matter, because everything that ever comes out of their mouth is bad. Now, you know that's true. You work with people like that. Some of you were raised by people like that. Some of you are married to people like that. And the truth is this, that when it comes to giving criticism, the first thing that you must do is you must examine yourself and ask yourself, am I just a negative person? Am I just a critical person? Am I just a person who's always looking at a situation and always looking at it in the wrong way? Are you there in Judges chapter 8? Judges chapter 8, I want you to notice this in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, we have this battle that goes on. In the previous chapters, we've got the stories of one of the greatest leaders that the nation of Israel ever knew. His name was Gideon, and he led the people out of bondage from the Midianites. He took 300 men, which was a miracle of God, to fight a military force that the Bible says was like innumerable, that they couldn't even, it was so many soldiers, and God performed a great miracle. And in chapter number 8, we're jumping into the end of that story, that great event that took place where Gideon led the people to victory. And I want you to notice he's confronted with some criticism. Judges 8, look at verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, they said, why? They're questioning him. Why hast thou served us thus? They're being critical of how they've been treated. They say, why have you treated us this way, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? Notice what it says. And they did chide with him sharply. That word chide there means to scold or rebuke. They scolded and rebuked Gideon sharply. Now here's the problem with the criticism that they're giving to Gideon, that the men of Ephraim are giving to Gideon. The problem with it is that, if you remember last week's sermon, it's unfounded negative criticism. They're criticizing Gideon for something that Gideon had no control over. Number one, it was God who told Gideon to send the people away who were afraid. Do you remember that? It was God who told Gideon to then test the people and have them drink water in a certain way, and those who drank in a certain way take to battle with you, and those who drank water in another way send them away. It was God who narrowed down the force down to 300. Gideon actually wanted to go to battle with the 10,000 original soldiers he had. He still would have been outnumbered. It was God who brought it down to 300 soldiers. But here's the interesting thing. When you study the story of Gideon, you'll find that once the initial attack was done with the 300 soldiers, Gideon actually did send out a warning telling the entire house of Israel, hey, we're winning the battle, come and help us. He actually did invite everyone to come and join the battle. And here, at the end of the battle, you've got the men of Ephraim, these Johnny-come-latelys who missed the, apparently they didn't get the message, or they heard the message and they didn't take heed to it. And now everyone's celebrating this great battle. They weren't part of it. So what do? They criticize it. They come to him. Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Now you say, well, maybe the Ephraimites, maybe there was a misunderstanding, maybe there was a misconnection, maybe they didn't get the message from Gideon, maybe they didn't understand what God was doing, maybe they're just having a bad day. And here's the thing, you're right, maybe they were. But I'd like you to go to Judges chapter 12. In Judges chapter 12, we fast forward in the history of the children of Israel. And now we are at the life of a different judge. Gideon's dead, Gideon's gone, Gideon's children are gone. We fast forward many years, and we are now in the life of another judge by the name of Jephthah. And Jephthah has a similar story. He's outnumbered. The children of Israel are under bondage. They've been in bondage for a long time. And God works in the life of Jephthah to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. And at the end of that battle, at the end of that victory, at the end of that time of great success, I want you to notice what our friends, the men of Ephraim, do. Judges chapter 12, verse 1. And the men of Ephraim, does that sound familiar? Gathered themselves together and went northward, and said unto Jephthah. Now, first they were complaining and criticizing Gideon. Now they're, years later, complaining and criticizing Jephthah, and they said, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And at this point, we realize something about the men of Ephraim, that they weren't just having a bad day back in the day of Gideon, that it wasn't just a miscommunication. They didn't just get the wrong message, because now we see them years later complaining to a different leader about a different victory, but doing the same thing. And you know what we learn about the men of Ephraim during the time of Judges is that they were just a bunch of complainers. They were just critical people. And it really didn't matter if it was Gideon or Jephthah. It didn't really matter if it was the Midianites or who. It really didn't matter what was happening and how it happened. It really didn't matter because at the end of the day, all they were going to do was complain and be negative and be critical. And by the way, the people complaining, the men of Ephraim in Judges 12, are not the same men of Ephraim in Judges 8. These are their children and grandchildren. And let me say something to you, mom and dad. If you grow up just being a negative, critical, angry, ugly person who's just always upset, always not happy, especially in church world, every Sunday you're driving back home and you're just talking to your husband and talking to your wife about how the pastor's wife didn't do this and the pastor didn't do that and the staff is this and the staff is that, let me just tell you something. You're going to raise a bunch of negative, critical, complaining people as well. If you're critical, you'll raise critical people. If you're negative, you'll raise negative people. If you're a big complainer, you will raise big complainers. Why? Because when it comes to criticism, the first step that we must all take is we must ask ourselves, are you just a negative and critical person? Am I just a negative and critical person? Is there something here that actually needs to be corrected and actually needs to be looked at? Or am I just the type of person that's always going to find something to complain about, to criticize, to be angry and ugly about? Because the men of Ephraim, it looks like it doesn't really matter who's leading, doesn't really matter who's winning, doesn't really matter what's happening, they're never going to be happy because they're just critical people. Go back to James chapter 4, if you would. James chapter 4. So you must ask yourself. And I'm not saying like preacher talk, like you must ask yourself, and we're all like, yeah, we must ask ourselves. I'm literally telling you right now, in your mind and in your heart, ask yourself, am I just a negative person? Am I just a critical person? Or maybe ask it this way, and don't ask this question. Look, I'm warning you, don't ask this question. I've got enough counseling I got to do. I don't have time for more counseling, all right? Don't ask this question out loud, but you should ask this question in your heart. Would my husband say I'm a negative person? Don't ask your husband, but ask yourself. Honestly, would my husband say that I'm a negative and critical person? Would my wife say that I'm a negative and critical person? Would my children say that I'm a negative and critical person? Would my boss at work say that I'm a positive person who no matter what's going on, they come to me with a problem, I'm always positive, and we're going to get it done, we're going to get through this, it's no problem, or am I the person that's always, I can't believe? Would your pastor say, you can ask me, I'll tell you. Would your pastor say that you're a negative and critical person? Because the thing about criticism is this, that you may want to just ask yourself, am I just a bitter, angry person? James chapter 4, look at verse 11. James chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says this, speak not evil. Speak not evil one of another. Speak not evil one of another. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Because what does the law of God tell you to do? The law of God tells you to esteem other better than ourselves, doesn't it not? The law of God tells us to turn the other cheek. The law of God tells us to be patient with people, to love people. The law of God. So look, when you speak evil of another, when you criticize other people, when you gossip about other people, when you are critical about other people, the Bible says that he speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law. Thou art not, excuse me, a doer of the law, but a judge. Notice verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Notice, who art thou that judgest another? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, who are you? Who are you, men of Ephraim, to criticize Jephthah? Who are you, men of Ephraim, to criticize Gideon? And you got to ask yourself, who are you to just have this negative attitude and criticize everything about everyone? It doesn't matter who it is. That person's not doing a good job. That person's not a good father. That person's not a good mother. They're not raising their children right. I could do better. I could do this. I could do that. Look, you got to ask yourself, am I just a negative person? Go to James chapter 5. Look at verse 9. James chapter 5. And let me say this. When it comes to the children of Ephraim, you got to ask yourself, is it just connected to a position? Because remember, they were mad at Gideon because he had the position of being the judge. But then they were mad at Jephthah, who also had the position of being a judge. I don't think that had anything to do with Gideon or Jephthah. I think they just hated anybody who was in that position of leadership. You know, in ministry, my wife and I have found out that there are some people who are just always mad at the pastor. It really doesn't matter who the pastor is because they've gone to other churches and they hated that pastor too. And they always had an issue with the pastor. They always had a problem with the pastor. They just have problems with pastors in general, just subconsciously in their mind. There are some people who just always hate the pastor's wife. And it really doesn't matter who the pastor's wife is because they've had problems with other pastors' wives. They've had issues with other pastors' wives. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest pastor's wife who ever lived or if you're the worst pastor's wife who ever lived. No matter what church you go to, they're always going to have a problem with the pastor's wife. Not because they have a problem with the pastor's wife. They just have a problem with whoever happens to be the wife of the pastor. Whoever happens to be the pastor. Some of you, it doesn't matter who you work for, you're never going to be happy. Because, you know, that guy doesn't deserve to be my boss. He doesn't get promoted. You're the complainer. You're the critical one. You're the one that gets passed over for the promotion every year. And then your friend gets, he doesn't deserve it either. And it doesn't really matter who it is. Because it's not you. And you're just critical. And you're just negative. And if that's you, I'm just telling you, stop. Because you're ruining the relationships around you. James chapter 5, look at verse 9. Grudge not. Grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Do you know that it is God's job to judge us? Do you know that one day every man will stand in judgment before God? If you're not saved, you'll stand at the judgment at the great white throne. And if you are saved, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're saved, you'll never be judged and sent to hell. You'll be judged for the things you did in your body. But you know that it's God's job to judge us? And we understand that in our leadership roles, and we're going to get to it, there are times to correct those that we have authority over, and there are times to have righteous judgment. I'm not saying those things are wrong. The Bible tells us and teaches us to do those things. But please understand this. It is God's ultimate job to judge all of us. And here's what's interesting about God, is that God waits till the end of our lives to judge us. But you want to just do it right now. All day, every day, everyone, and here's all I'm saying. When it comes to giving criticism, be careful that you're not just a negative and critical person. Now, please understand this. I realize that those of you who need this are criticizing this right now. So let me just say this to the rest of you. Those of you that are married, those of you that work for, those of you that are being parented by these type of people, just realize that this is how they are. They're not mad at you. They're just mad at life. So just be patient with them and just love them and just be careful not to become like them. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Got four thoughts for you. Number one, when it comes to giving criticism, be careful that you're not just a negative and critical person. And honestly, ask yourself this. If you have a problem with me, ask yourself, do I really have a problem with pastor or do I just have a problem with every pastor? Does it matter what pastor does, or am I just going to be against everything he ever does all the time? He could never do anything right. I didn't like it when he started church in Vancouver. I didn't like it when he started church in Boise. I didn't like it that he went to preach to Hawaii. I don't like the church in Fresno. I don't like church in Manila. I don't like the church in Pampanga. I don't like the orchestra. I don't like the homeschool group. I've always got something negative to say about everything that I've ever done. Ask yourself, is it really me? Or is it just you who are negative and critical? Miss Joanne, this lady's Christmas party, if I would have done it. Lady's tea, she messed that one up too. Is the problem really Miss Joanne? Or is it you? Being negative, being critical, being ugly, being bitter. When it comes to giving criticism, be careful that you're not just a negative and critical person. Here's point number two. When it comes to giving criticism, be careful that your words are helpful and not just hurtful. Be careful that your words are helpful and not just hurtful. Now, I worded that in a certain way for a reason. I didn't say be careful that your words are helpful and not hurtful, because here's the thing. Sometimes the truth is hurtful. Sometimes the truth hurts. Paul said to the church in Galatia, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So here's the thing. You might have to say something to someone. We saw it last week, right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes someone who loves you has to tell you something that's truthful and it's also hurtful. But you got to ask yourself, when it comes to criticism, are your words helpful and not just hurtful, or are they only hurtful? In regards to your words being helpful, are they helpful and hurtful? That's acceptable. You say, I'm going to say something that's going to hurt, but I'm trying to help you. Or are you just trying to hurt? Are you just trying to wound? Are you just trying to criticize? Now, when it comes to your words being helpful, and look, when it comes to parenting, moms and dad, say, I got to correct my children. Okay, ask yourself, are my words being helpful and hurtful, or are they just being hurtful? Am I just hurting and wounding the spirit of my children with my bad and negative attitude? You say, well, I have to hurt them a little bit because the truth is going to hurt them. Okay, but are you being helpful and hurtful? Now, when it comes to this, there are three questions you got to ask yourself. And I'd like you to write these down because, again, we need these, and you might be able to have these as a review the next time you have to correct somebody. But you got to ask yourself, when it comes to your words being helpful and not just hurtful, there are three questions you got to ask yourself before you let the words come out of your mouth. Here's question number one, okay? You should ask yourself, do I even need to say what I'm going to say? Is this even something that needs to be said? Is this something that I need to fight? Is this a battle? Because look, there are some hills you need not fight on or die on. There are some battles. You don't have to fight every battle. Now, there are some battles you need to fight. There are some battles I need to fight. But we should ask ourselves, before we ever give constructive criticism, we should ask ourselves, do I even need to say what I'm going to say? You're there in James 1, look at verse 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19, notice what the Bible says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be, don't miss this. This is what God says. You want to have a good marriage? You want to raise children that not only love the Lord, but love you too? You want to have employees that respect you, that want to work with you. You want to have people around you that want to be around you. Notice what the Bible says. Let every man be swift. The word swift means quick. Be fast. Be swift to hear. Now, swift to hear doesn't mean you hear fastly. Like, oh, you talk really fast and I can get it all. No. It means that you should be fast to do that first. You should be swift to hear. Don't miss it. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Before you give criticism, before you give whatever it is that you feel like you have to say and this has to get said, you got to ask yourself, do I even need to say what I'm saying? And you have to apply this verse and be swift to hear and slow to speak. Slow to give your opinion. Slow to give your criticism. Slow, you say, why? Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Go back to Proverbs, if you would. Keep your place in James. We're going to go back and forth between Proverbs and James for a little bit. So go back to Proverbs. I'm not sure if you kept your place there or not, but in the center of the Bible, you got Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have Proverbs. Proverbs 17. When giving criticism, you must be careful that your words are helpful, not just hurtful. How do you do that? Well, you ask yourself this question. Do I even need to say what I am going to say? Do I need to even engage this argument? Do I need to give my opinion? Is this something that even needs to be said? And you say, well, how do I do that? You learn to be swift to hear and slow to speak. You learn to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And when you're swift to hear and slow to speak, and look, I've tried to apologize when I needed to apologize and take responsibility for the actions that I need to take responsibility for. But let me tell you something. When you're swift to hear and when you're slow to speak, you have less you have to regret and you have less you have to apologize for. When you're swift to hear and you're slow to speak, you don't have the wrath of man that worketh not the righteousness of God in your parenting, in your marriage, at work, in your relationships. Proverbs 17 and verse 27, the Bible says this, he that hath knowledge, Proverbs 17, verse 27, he that hath knowledge, he that's taken time to think, to gather his thoughts, to gather whatever, you know, information they need to make a good decision. He that hath knowledge, notice, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. They're not of an angry spirit. They're not of a spiteful spirit. They're not of a bitter spirit. Notice verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, when he holds back his words, when he just doesn't say what he needs to say, people will say, they'll say something mean, they'll say something else, well, I've said my piece. Well, here's the thing. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So you have to ask yourself the question, do I even need to say what I'm going to say? And please, notice this. Notice that the question is, do I need to say, not do I want to say? The question, some of you wrote, do I want to say? That's not the question. The question is not, do I want to say? We know you want to say. We all want to say. The question is, do I need to say what I'm going to say for my words to be helpful and not just hurtful? Here's question number two. Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Question one, do I need to say what I'm going to say? Here's question two. Have I thought through the words and the things that I'm going to say? Have I thought through? Am I just shooting from the hip? Am I just opening my mouth in anger? Am I just doing whatever and saying whatever? Or have I taken the time? Have I been swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath? And have I thought through the words and things that I'm going to say? Proverbs 15, verse 28. Proverbs 15, verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. The heart of the righteous, don't miss this. The heart of the righteous, notice, studieth to answer. Like a test. You know how you study to give the right answer in a test? I don't want to get this wrong. I better make sure I study. I better make sure I go back and I review. I better go make sure that I get all my facts right and get all my facts straight. I better make sure that I've got the right attitude, right? I'm going to have a test tomorrow. I better make sure I get enough sleep. I better make sure I have breakfast. I better make sure I'm in the right frame of mind because I want to make sure that I get all the answers right. Look, when you have to criticize your spouse or your children or an employer or whatever the situation might be, you want to make sure that you have studied to give the right answer. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked, notice the wording, the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And isn't it true that that's how most arguments in marriage go? Husband just rah, all over his wife. And she rah, all over her husband. Even a fool holdeth his peace, the Bible says. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And by the way, it'll help your gossiping sin when you realize that gossiping is just two guys or two ladies blah, all over each other. That should be the mental view. Blah. Let me tell you something about Miss Blah. Maybe that'll help you understand how disgusting it is to be a critical and angry person. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, look at verse 1. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. Have I thought through the words and things that I'm going to say? Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Have you thought it through? Let me ask you this. Have you prayed it through? Have you asked God, God, how would you have me deal with this situation? What would you have me to say? What would you have me not to say? When we want our words to be helpful and not just hurtful. Now look, you don't need to do this if all you want to do is hurt. If all you want to do is hurt someone, be mean to someone, make someone feel bad, get back at them, if that's all. But if you want your words to be helpful and not just hurtful, then you must ask yourself, do I even need to say what I'm going to say? You must ask yourself, have I thought through the words and things that I'm going to say? Have I thought it through? Have I prayed it through? Here's question number three. Ask yourself, are my words going to hurt and help or just hurt? If I was receiving this, go to Proverbs 18. Because doesn't the Bible say that we should treat others the way we'd like to be treated? And isn't that one of the main teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do unto others as ye'd have them do unto you. So ask yourself, if I was on the other end of this, if I was receiving this correction, if I was receiving this criticism, if it was my boss or my parents or my whatever situation where I was receiving this criticism, would it be helpful and hurtful, or would it just be hurtful? Because when we give it to others, we don't really think, like, does this help them, does it hurt them? But when we get it, man, we know. You're just being mean. Would you ask yourself, am I just being mean? Proverbs 18, verse 21. We don't understand the power that's in our words, but the Bible says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Wife, do you understand the power you have in your words to either build up or break down your husband? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Husband, do you understand the power that's in your words to build up your wife for the glory of God, or to just break her down with your mean and hurtful words? Do you understand the power, mom, dad, when dealing with your children? The power in your words that'll hurt them and it'll be with them for a long time and maybe even the rest of their lives. Because truly, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. My husband won't talk to me. He works all day, then he's in the garage, or he's in the backyard, or he's gone away, he won't talk to me. Well, you know, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Maybe if your words were nice, they would want to eat the fruit of your words. Maybe your wife doesn't want to talk to you, sir, because you're a jerk. Maybe your kids don't want to spend any time with you, because whenever they spend time with you, all they're getting is being broken down and berated and chopped down, and you're this and you're that and you're this. Look, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can speak life into the relationships you have. But when we're bitter and angry and hurtful and mean, we just break people down. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Would you go there? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Is this you? There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Is every time you open your mouth just a sword going into the heart of those around you? There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise. But the tongue of the wise is health. So when it comes to giving criticism, you gotta be careful that you're not just a negative and critical person who's always negative and critical about everything. And you gotta be careful that your words are helpful and not just hurtful. Here's point number three. Go to Proverbs 26, if you would. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. Here's point number three. When giving criticism, be careful that you are not overstepping in matters that do not involve you. When giving criticism, be careful that you are not just overstepping, that you are not overstepping in matters that do not involve you. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs 26, verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife not belonging to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. I love that verse. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife not belonging to him. So there's strife, parents having problems with their teenagers, husbands having problems with their wife, or wife having problems with their husband, or whatever. And it doesn't involve you. Nobody's asked your opinion. Nobody brought you into it. Nobody said, hey, can I get your help? You just kind of get into that and say, she's a bad mom, or he's a bad dad, or he's this, or she's that, or if they did this. He that meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's the thing. Come over to my house and grab my half-German shepherd, half-German or Belgian Malinois or whatever it is, dog, and grab it by the ears, and just grab it, you know you're liable to get bit. And sometimes you find yourselves getting bit in problems because you enter into criticism that doesn't even involve you. It has nothing to do with you. It's not your place, and it's not your problem. And you got to say, is it my place, is it my problem? And if it's not my place, I don't want to make it my problem. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belongeth not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. And here's all I'm telling you. When you take a dog by the ears, you're liable to get bit. Romans 14, if you would. Romans chapter 14 in the New Testament. We're almost done. Romans 14. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 1. So you got to ask yourself, when giving criticism, be careful. When giving criticism, be careful. That you're not overstepping. That you're not overstepping in matters that do not involve you. Romans chapter 14. And look, I'm the pastor of the church, and I try to follow this carefully. Sometimes people take me aside, and they're like, pastor, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, great. And then they go and mess everything up. Well, pastor said, well, no. You didn't ask pastor anything. You just told me what you were doing. You didn't say, pastor, do you think it's a good idea to do X, Y, and Z? You just said, I'm doing X, Y, and Z, and if you tell me I'm doing X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to take a dog by the ears. Okay. I mean, if you were to ask me, I don't think that's a good idea, but whatever. And then people go, oh, I talked to pastor about it. You didn't talk to pastor about it. You told pastor about it. You told Miss Joanne about it. You told us what you were going to do. You told us. You didn't ask. Look, wise people, remember last week's sermon? They seek counsel. There is wisdom in the multitude of counselors, the Bible says. Now, if you want to go do some stupid thing with your life, that's your priority, a prerogative. Go for it. But if you were smart, you'd ask counsel. You seek wisdom from God. You seek wisdom from those around you that have experience, those that love you, those that have been maybe put in positions to try to help you with those things. Romans 14 and verse 1, the Bible says this, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. You know how sometimes weak Christians, they like to argue about stupid things? And God says, look, if someone shows up and they're weak in the faith, don't receive them to doubtful disputations. And then he gives us an example. Look at verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. There's two people, two opinions. One believes that they can eat all things, and one thinks that they shouldn't eat meat. That's what Paul's dealing with this in the church in Rome. And who do you think Paul sides with? Well, he says, another who is weak eateth herbs. So obviously he's saying they've got the weaker argument. They're not only weaker physically because they're not eating meat, but you know they've got the weaker argument because the Bible says that we can eat anything. The Bible says in the New Testament we're not under the Levitical priesthood. The Bible says that we can eat anything and just we need to just sanctify with the Word of God and prayer and we can receive all things and we can eat all things. And here Paul is saying, look, you got two people coming into the church and one has an opinion that's a wrong opinion that is saying, no, we can't eat any meat. You say, well, what does Paul say to do? Well, you need to set that guy straight. You need to sit him down and say, you're an idiot. What are you doing? God told Peter to rise up and eat. This is a doctrine of devils. Is that what Paul says? Look at verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth. You say, why? For God receiveth him. Notice verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Here's what he's saying. If some master wants to tell his servant you're only allowed to eat herbs, why do you have to criticize or be critical about that? What is that? How does that involve you? Why does that matter to you? And listen to me. If you don't like how some parents parent their teenager, then when you have teenagers, make sure you don't do that. But you don't have to criticize them. Now, if it's hurting you, if it's affecting you, if their teenager's life is doing something to you, then it's become your problem, so it's your place to go and speak to the parent respectfully and do it. But if it has nothing to do with you, stay out of it. Don't give marriage counseling if you're not in that marriage. And if you've not been asked specifically, I need marriage counseling from you. Well, let me tell you what I think you should do with your wife. No, you know what? Don't worry about it. Because you have to be careful when giving criticism that you are not overstepping in matters that do not involve you. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Don't meddle with strife not belonging to you. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Last book in the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. Revelation chapter 2. Here's point number 4. There's only 4. Okay, we're almost done. Point number 4. When it comes to giving criticism, I'm trying to help you, not just hurt you. When it comes to giving criticism, you must be careful that you're not just a negative and critical person. You must be careful that your words are helpful and not just hurtful. You must be careful that you're not overstepping in matters that do not involve you. When it comes to giving criticism, you must be careful that you are not only negative, but also positive and encouraging. You know what's really interesting to me is that in the book of Revelation, we find the Lord Jesus Christ giving constructive criticism to 7 churches in Asia. He's telling them negative things that they are doing. But I want you to notice how Jesus does it. If you read, you know, books on people skills and relational skills, they'll call this the sandwich effect. Well, they'll say, before you give somebody something negative or critical, you should say something positive, then tell them the negative thing, and then end with a positive thing. You say, oh, well, that's just, you know, psychological, you know, mumble-jumble. Well, here's the thing. Jesus did it. So if Jesus did it, I'm going to show it to you. If Jesus did it, it must be good. Revelation 2, look at verse 1. Notice what he says. There's 7 examples. I'm just going to give you 1 for sake of time. Revelation 2, 1. Unto the angel church of Ephesus write, this is Jesus telling John, I want you to get this message to the church at Ephesus. He says, write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. That's Jesus. He says, here's the message for the church at Ephesus. I know thy works. That's positive. They're working. He says, I know your works. And thy labor. That's positive. They're laboring. And thy patience. I know you're patient. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. He said, I know that you're working. I know that you're laboring. I know that you're patient. I know that you are trying people. You're not just believing every spirit, but trying the spirits, whether they be of God. And you're finding false teachers and false preachers. And you found them to be liars. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. He said, look, I know that you're up to a lot of good things there in Ephesus. I know that you're patient, and you've borne, and you've labored, and you've worked hard, and you've discerned things. I know that you're doing good things. Notice, Jesus begins very positively with the church at Ephesus. And then in verse 4, he brings up something negative. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And then he goes on and tells them how to fix it. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Look at verse 6. He ends on a positive note. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And here's all I'm telling you. Whenever you give criticism, is it only negative? You ever positive? Well, you got a bad grade in this class. But what about all the other classes they got good grades in? I'm not saying ignore the bad grade they got, but maybe you can say something like, hey, I'm glad you're doing well in PE. I know that's a difficult class. Thank you. And I think you could do better in science. And I think we need to do something about your English grade. But are you just a negative, hurtful person? Or do you bring up things that are both negative and positive? Positive, negative, positive. Like Jesus did. Nevertheless, I have someone against thee is negative. But he says some good things about them, negative, ends with some good things. Why? Because he's not trying to just hurt them. He's trying to be helpful. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. If you kept your place in Romans, you got 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians. I'm going to read for you from Colossians, and then we're going to go to Proverbs, and we're going to be done, all right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. This whole being not only negative, but also positive and encouraging thing, it's extremely important in any follower-leader relationship, but it is especially important in the parent-children relationship. And listen to me, dads, it is especially important with you dads. Now, don't ask me why. I don't know why. God says it, so that's it. God says it. That's good enough. But I will tell you this, studies show that for whatever reason, kids, especially boys, they need to have some sort of affirmation from dad. And when they don't, it messes with them. So God says this, Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So make sure you're not just saying things that are just going to provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, you don't have to turn there, says this, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And here's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you, you need to be a positive only dad, positive only mom, never say anything negative. No, you know what? You will ruin your children if you never correct them. If you never tell them when they're wrong, you will ruin them. You will raise a brat. You will raise a monster. But make sure you're not only negative. Make sure you're also encouraging and positive. Make sure you're not just provoking your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Make sure you're not provoking your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Go to Proverbs 31. We'll finish right here. Proverbs 31. You say, oh, it's just about dads. No, mom, it's you too. Proverbs 31. It's the famous virtuous woman proverb, right? It's all about the virtuous woman. Notice what the Bible says about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. Proverbs 31 and verse 26, the Bible says this. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's kind. She's not mean. She's not angry. She's not bitter. She's not rude. She's kind. So when it comes to giving criticism, you got to ask yourself, am I just a negative person? Do I criticize everything and everyone all the time? Am I just angry, bitter? Maybe I'm just envious. When it comes to giving criticism, you got to ask yourself, are my words helpful and not just hurtful, or are they only hurtful? Are my words meant to hurt, or are they meant to help, but because they're truth, they'll also hurt? You got to ask yourself, if I received this, if I was on the receiving end of this, how would I take it? As positive, negative, positive, helpful, hurtful, or just hurtful? When it comes to giving criticism, you got to ask yourself, am I overstepping in the matters that don't involve me? Is this my place and is this my problem? Does it really matter? Look, people are always trying to get me to get involved in situations. Pastor Jimenez, did you know that in this other church that pastor's doing X, Y, and Z? You have to make a YouTube video about it right now. Does that involve me? Is that my place? Is that my problem? Or am I just overstepping in matters that do not involve me? When it comes to giving criticism, you got to be careful that you're not only negative, but also positive and encouraging. Because we don't want to provoke those that follow us to anger and discourage them along the way. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, thank you for the fact that in any subject and every subject, you overwhelmingly speak and guide in it. You teach us how to do everything. And Lord, wherever this sermon falls, wherever it hits in the hearts of the individuals here, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to take heed to it. Wherever we need to make adjustments, wherever we need to fix what we're doing, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a church filled with people who are able to receive correction properly. And if there's correction that must be received today, Lord, I pray for myself and for everyone here that we would listen to it, that we would take heed to it, that we would adjust it. Lord, give us wisdom to know what to do with the wisdom we've heard from your word. And Lord, I pray you'd give us the boldness to do it. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.